I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Andy Murray, and you're listening to The Tennis Podcast.
Welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph. My name is David Law, commentator for BT Sport and BBC Radio 5 Live, joined by Catherine Whittaker, as always, from Eurosport, who are going to be covering the Davis Cup by BNP Paribas over the next 3 days, our Eurosport, as our Tennis Channel in the United States. It all kicks off on Friday at 2 o'clock local time in Zagreb, Croatia. Catherine and myself are here to preview it. Catherine, I can't believe it's a year ago since Britain won the Davis Cup. I would have been in Ghent in Belgium a year ago.
One whole year ago, yes. I was just on the Davis Cup website and I see that Great Britain is still the top ranked Davis Cup nation. I'm quite sure that will change after the final. Argentina are currently the second ranked Davis Cup nation. I don't know whether they can only move up should they win. But anyway, yeah, Great Britain, the legacy is still there. They're still clinging on to the title of Davis Cup champions. I don't know, were they presumably the handing over of the trophy, which has been on a tour of the UK for the past 12 months, was a poignant moment. But who knows, maybe we'll get it back one day. Who knows? But yeah, it's really ignited, certainly in this country, it ignited a fire and an interest in the Davis Cup, which I still think we're seeing the effects of a year later, which is great.
Yeah, I agree. Just on the subject of getting it back, have you ever wondered how they actually ship that thing around? I mean, it kept turning up at sort of local schools in the UK as they were doing the sort of tour of Great Britain and really trying to spread the word about it. But I mean, that thing is as big as me, and I'm 6 feet 7 inches tall. Ooh. And that's made of wood and silver.
Well, I believe it can be disassembled to some extent. It is. It's in parts, isn't it? The trophy portion can be removed from. I don't know how much of the wooden base plinthy thing can. I don't know if that can be disassembled in any way. Imagine getting up and down the country. Fine, hire a van, man and van. Boom, you're done. Getting it international travel for the Davis Cup, probably a bit more problematic.
Well, that is a bit like shipping me around the world as opposed to the country then, because I'm a bit more difficult to get into those economy seats on the way to Australia. Anyway, enough of my travel problems, Catherine. We really should talk about the Davis Cup final. And there's lots to talk about. I hadn't really cottoned on it. It hadn't really occurred to me just how big a deal this is. I mean, it's a big deal to any country that's in the Davis Cup final. But Argentina have been trying to win this thing for 100 years, and they got to their first final in 1981. They've been to 4 finals overall. They've never won it. I mean, this is a massive deal.
Yeah, if they continue to not win it, the jinx just gets bigger and bigger. You start to think, well, will they ever win it? You know, if they don't get this one, and it's by no means a given. In fact, they're not the favourites, I don't think. Yeah, that that jinx and all the proverbial, you know, the monkey on the back, it's just going to continue to grow, isn't it? 1981, their first final, and they had a pretty strong team back then. Jose Luis Clerc and Guillermo Vilas, that's not too shabby, is it? They've consistently, I mean, yes, ups and downs, stronger points than others, but they've pretty much consistently over the last 35 years had great strength and depth as a tennis nation. And the fact that they haven't won the Davis Cup is a massive oversight, a massive omission, really. So they really ought to think about winning one, David.
Yeah, I mean, you know, pull your finger out, Argentina. Well, fortunately for them, they got a fantastic win against Great Britain in the semi-finals to go to Scotland to take on Andy Murray, the world number one, and to get the win. It's really a heck of an achievement. And obviously Juan Martín Del Potro did the hard work initially by winning that five-setter, and it was Leonardo Mayer who ended up winning the decider, who isn't playing singles. I have to say, the draw was made a couple of hours ago, as we record this now. I was quite surprised about that, in a way, that he didn't get the nod, because Del Bonis, who's been chosen for singles, didn't end up playing at all in the Great Britain tie. So it starts off with Marin Cilic against Federico Del Bonis. Then it is Juan Martín Del Potro against what I think is the most fantastic sort of other sidebar story, Ivo Karlovic, aged 37, who's the oldest man since the 20s to play singles in a Davis Cup final. So many good little storylines going around here.
Yeah, for me, the Leo Mayer omission, it's really taken me by surprise. And I know his form is not good. I know he's lost to players outside the world's top 300. I know that doesn't look great. But he, by definition, is a player that in Davis Cup throws the form book out of the window. So to then judge him on, to make the call based on form, sort of misses the point. It's definitely, I think, the easier choice for Daniel Orsenik. It's easier to explain, you know, just point people towards the form book. There you go, job done. But I think it's a shame. He was so good against GB. He really was good. That final tie, the final rubber against Dan Evans, I mean, he was an absolute revelation. And to do it away from home as well, I've seen him do that in Argentina, where those crowds are famously feverish, and I've seen him come alive under those circumstances. But to see him do it away from home as he did against GB, I would have thought that alone probably would have been enough to get him the nod this time around. But no disrespect to Del Bonis. He's a very solid player who's got a very respectable Davis Cup record, but I personally am a little bit surprised.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised as well. Although, of course, they can change things in the final rubber, because that's what they did against Great Britain. They initially played Guido Pella in the first of the singles against Kyle Edmund, wasn't it, he beat, and then they switched in Mayer at the end to play against Dan Evans. So you can make those changes.
Guido Pella, David. Guido Pella.
Oh yeah, I got that one wrong at the time, and I remember getting told off about it. So now I've got it wrong again. So anyway, sorry, Guido.
So you actually asked me about Karlovic, didn't you? Yes, it is amazing. But question for you, David. One thing that I know that you and I have in common, amongst a sea of things we don't have in common, is that we believe that your country should retire you. You shouldn't retire from playing for your country, correct? This applies
yes.
to all sports.
We
are both firm believers in that. And Karlovic retired from Davis Cup play 4 years ago and is now striding back in on a horse for the final 4 years later. What do you think about that, horse aside?
I mean, ultimately, I think it's a question of needs must. And, you know, Borna Coric, I think, would have been playing it had he not suffered such a bad injury, and he's not going to take any part in the tie now. I mean, really, Croatia haven't got many options. If you go through their ranks, they've got Cilic, all, you know, other players have retired now, and with Čorić injured, you are left with Karlović. Now, I'm not. It isn't something that I find wholly comfortable because I agree with that. I mean, look, you can do what you like. You can come back and unretire. Personally, I know that there were political issues for Karlović with the Croatian Federation over the course of his career as well. So I don't know the nitty gritty of it. I mean, but in terms of my ideology, yes, I think you have your hand up. At the same time, you know, we're always talking about Andy Murray. He stopped playing for a while, didn't he? And I actually think I can kind of see the reasons that he did, given that Britain got to such a low ebb.
He didn't retire, though. He didn't say, no. I no longer, as a rule, I'm making myself ineligible, effectively, to play for my country.
Yeah, that element, I don't really... I think you can change your mind about whether you want to retire from the sport, for instance, and make a comeback like Kim Clijsters did or like Justin Henin did. So that element of it doesn't really bother me as much as the simple fact that I generally speaking do believe that you should be available if selected.
You're right, though. They are, I mean on a personal level, it's a great shame for Borna Čorić, because what he did against the United States was amazing, and I would have loved to see him come alive again in the final, and I think it would have been great to see. It's the only thing it's missing, really, this final, a real young, up-and-coming player that could make his mark. We've talked so much about how the Davis Cup can be make or indeed break for young players. And, you know, a youngster like Čorić is what it's missing. I believe he's still there in Zagreb. He's still going to be a part of the whole experience. But, I mean, how heartbreaking for him not to be able to be involved. And I have to say, I must admit that as a result of his not being fit to play, Croatia have named a doubles player that I had previously never heard of, Franko Skugor. Had you heard of him, David?
I have heard the name. I've never seen him play.
Could
I know
you
nothing
pick him
about
out of a
him.
Lineup?
No. Not even a two-man lineup if I didn't know who the other one was. So I can't say I know anything about him, but that's the beauty of it, I think.
I'm going to guess that he's tall and dark-haired.
Stereotyping, isn't it? I mean, you know, look, Jelko Krajan, who's the Davis Cup captain, is a former player, and he's neither of those things. So it is possible.
I'm playing the odds, David. I'm playing the odds. I'm going tall and dark.
Okay, all right. Well, I suspect you may be right.
You know what? I reckon he's got a big serve, David. Good wingspan up at the net.
Yeah. Wingspan of a pterodactyl, which is what I like to describe Miloš Raonic having. The Čorić element, I think, is a shame, because not only is he a good player, I think he's perfect for Davis Cup. He has the right attitude. He played fabulously against Jack Sock in the result that actually ended up winning that tie from 0-2 down. That was the one, really, that got Croatia to where they are now and into the final. Shame for him. But the Karlović story, take away the retirement element from it, I think is a fantastic little story, isn't it? Somebody who is 37 years of age. I remember him playing against Argentina in 2002. I remember watching that tie. That's 14 years ago. And I remember seeing that when I was actually in Croatia at the time. I was living there at the time. And watching as he, poor old Ivo, trying to slam his serve down on the slowest indoor clay court you've ever seen in your life, and just getting tied up in knots by Gaston Gaudio, who went on to win the French Open a couple of years later, of course.
Well, he shouldn't have such issues this time, because I believe it's a pretty fast indoor court that they've laid down in Zagreb.
But not as fast as they wanted it to be, the team. It's quite interesting. I listened to the press conference a couple of days ago, that before they had the draw. This was a couple of days ago. And you could tell from the answers given by Čilić and Karlović that the court wasn't quite as quick as they were hoping it was going to be. That they said, you know, hopefully it will speed up a bit as it gets played on. But you know, it's actually described on the Davis Cup website as medium slow, and obviously the home team has that choice to make. But you know, I think that those two probably would have liked it to be grease lightning, because I remember Del Potro playing against John Isner, I think, at Queens and losing out in two very close sets. They really will be hoping, I think, that Karlovic can just get into those tie breaks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've read a brilliant quote from Ivo Karlovic saying, yeah, I think I'm going to try and keep the points short against Del Potro, because, you know, he prefers the longer points, and I think it'd be better if I keep the points short. And I'm thinking, Ivo, doesn't that apply to every match you've ever played? But anyway, that's his tactic. He's going to try and keep the points short. So good luck to you, Ivo. Hopefully, you know, he'll be hoping for just one shot points. That's his MO, isn't it? But anyway.
It is. So they've had the draw today, Catherine. We've actually got a chance to hear from some of the players that are in that draw. So they're going to start off with Cilic against Delbonis, and Cilic particularly looking forward to starting against Federico Delbonis.
We've played already a couple of times before in the past, and I know Federico is a really good quality player and can produce. Great tennis. I had already few scalps against the top players, and definitely that means, in the words of his quality, and definitely, you know, from my own thoughts, it's going to be a difficult match also to open it up. It's always a little bit more, few more nerves on Friday than on the rest of the days, as it's just the beginning, but I'm hoping to play well. On the other hand, plus, you know, if I'm going to be playing in doubles, which I believe I will, it's going to give me a few hours extra to prepare and, you know, hopefully to get recovered a bit quicker.
Now, Catherine, I find it quite interesting that Cilic made the point that he starts against Delbonis, which is actually might end up being a good thing for him, in as much as he's likely to be playing doubles. It just gives him a few hours extra, doesn't it, to prepare for the middle day, because he's going to have to do the whole thing. It's not that's where Argentina have a big advantage, I think, is they have that depth.
You're suggesting that my new favourite player, Franco Skugor, might not actually play the doubles?
Well, no, I don't know. You know,
don't doubt the skills of Franco, David.
Who you've suddenly
not,
become this sort of
Franco
authority on.
Not Franco with the big serve and the big wingspan at the net, not Franco. yes, you are probably right. I do think it's a favourable look. I mean, the Davis Cup, the nature of the Davis Cup and the ties and how they're played is such that the draw, I don't think, has a huge bearing either way. But as far as it goes, I think it is favourable for Croatia because of that element you've mentioned, because that's obviously the tie with the biggest gap in terms of ranking and who's the favourite going into it. You would expect Marin Cilic, all other things being equal, to get that win on the board. And as he points out, that really takes the pressure off Ivo Karlovic and really puts the pressure on Del Potro and puts a slightly different complexion on that match. So I think marginally it's a favourable draw for Croatia.
Indeed. Catherine, Franco Skugor, guess what? He's got dark hair.
Woohoo!
He's got stubble.
I knew it. I just felt it in my bones.
He's got dark stubble, and he is 6'8" tall.
Is he really?
2 meters and 3 centimeters, and aged 29, from Šibenik, which is a lovely part of Croatia. Oh, I mean, I'm a bit biased. I love all parts of Croatia, and so yeah, there we go. You were right.
Precisely as I envisaged.
I know. I mean, well done. I'm impressed. So anyway, that's who Franco Skugor is. I tell you what, imagine him stood next to 6'11" Karlovic, who I think might be just nudging 7 foot now as he gets towards his 40th year. So anyway, but 6'8"
just
tall.
Just so you know, David, that's not how it works.
Isn't it?
No.
Oh, well, I'm still growing. I mean, I'm 43 now, and I'm definitely, by the time I'm 50, I'm going to be up there with Karlovic, no question about it. And then I'm going to start going down again. So anyway, the second rubber, we're going to see Karlovic up against one Martin Del Potro. I tell you, you only have to look at a picture of Del Potro to cheer yourself up, is my theory. I mean, he's absolutely surrounded by journalists. He's smiling away, but he's a bit edgy.
Well, I'm very, very nervous. We're almost done. The preparation is over and we are one day left to go. We're very excited to play this final in a good shape. I think we think they are the favorite to win, but we are very proud to be here and we trust in our team and we are looking forward to do a good weekend. We love to play our country, to represent our country behind all our support, and many Argentinian fans are coming to watch us and cheer for us, and it's going to be, I think, a great atmosphere out the court, and I think for us it's incredible week.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. So there's Juan Martín Del Potro, Catherine. A little bit nervous, but you can tell that he's looking forward to it. And I mean, he's been one of the stories of the year. If somebody had told you a year ago that he would be in the Davis Cup final and he would have already had an Olympic final and been pushing, basically looking like a top 10 player, he's down in the 30s now, but yeah, that would not have seemed realistic a year ago. And I'm so torn because I love Croatia. I love their team. I think Cilic is a great guy. The home team and the crowd and all that sort of thing, but then Del Potro. How can you not want Del Potro to win?
It's an irresistible story, isn't it? I do think purely because of Juan Martín Del Potro, most neutrals, as much as I think Croatia is one of those countries that pulls in the neutrals generally, there is sort of a warmth of feeling, I think, towards Croatia. I do think Delpo will pull in the majority of the neutrals. And also that, you know, four times in the final, never won it, that helps as well. It will be an incredibly romantic sporting moment if they do win on, I suppose they could do it on Saturday, but probably Sunday. It will just be one of those special moments in sport. Yes, it will be special if Croatia win it, but they did win it in 2005. It's been a while. I'm not saying, you know, they can't have another one. It's just the majority of the romance is in the Delpo Argentina story, I believe. And there's something uplifting about just thinking about Delpo. You know, that moment against Wawrinka at the US Open when the crowd just start cheering his name in unison in waves and he tears up. I mean, that is one of the most poignant moments I've seen on a tennis court, really. It was really quite something, and it illustrated that tennis fans, they really get it. They really get what Juan Martín Del Potro has been through over the last 7 years since winning the US Open title. People really appreciate it and know what it has taken for him to stick with it and get back to. He's inside the world's top 30 again now, and he's effectively a top 10 player, isn't he? That's, I see him as a top 10 player again, and it's just a matter of him getting a full season under his belt to get the results to nominally get there. But he's a top 10 player, and that there have been times when the prospect of that has seemed fanciful over the last 5-6 years. So it's amazing.
Well, I don't know about him tearing up. I'm tearing up. Anyway, he's going to be playing against Ivo Karlovic. And we've obviously seen the media put that stat to him about being the oldest player since the 20s to play in a Davis Cup final in the singles. But did he know that stat?
Actually, yes, I know that information, and I don't know what to think of it. Is it good or is it bad? But maybe it is good, you know, because my career was really long, so that's why I'm still here. Yeah, it is good that Marin is gonna go first. So if he's able to get that W, then it will be a little bit easier on me, and also it will be a lot more pressure on him, on Del Potro. And everybody knows how good he is this year. After his injuries, beginning with the Olympics, he was doing really unbelievable well. But also I was doing good, so definitely I will have my chances, and hopefully I will be able to take them.
So there's Ivo Karlovic. It's very interesting listening to Ivo talk, Catherine, because I first met him nearly 20 years ago. It was one of those where I was in Umag in Croatia. I was an ATP communications manager, and we came up with this brainwave idea, and weren't we geniuses, of getting Ivo Karlovic to have a photo shoot with Juan Antonio Marin, who was 5'3". And so we had 5'3" Marin with 6'11" Karlovic, and back then, I mean, that was it was about 5 years until Karlovic ended up beating Leighton Hewitt at Wimbledon. And he had a pretty significant stammer back then. He would really struggle with his speech and to do, certainly to do live interviews and to do press conferences and so forth. And as you can hear there, he speaks really well. He still has the issue occasionally if he's actually in a press conference situation, but he just ploughs on regardless. I really like Ivo Karlovic. I think he's one of the best on social media as well. You know, some people would be better off not being on social media. He's actually shown himself to have another side altogether on Twitter. So do follow him if you get the chance. But I don't know. I think it's going to be fascinating to see how these particular matches go over the next few days. We'll have our predictions at the end, Catherine. But Davis Cup final memories I've been asking for on Twitter over the last 24 hours. And goodness me, what a trip down memory lane. I ended up in the middle of the night just looking at old finals last night. any stick out for you?
Oh, well, I always talk about it, don't I? So I'll be a broken record against that again, that 2002 France Russia tie, and you know, the make or break, the making of Mikhail Yuzhny and the breaking of Paul-Henri Mathieu in that fifth rubber really sticks with me. Everything about that, you know, Mathieu being two sets to love up and it both being youngsters, and yeah, that really, really stuck with me, that one. So
it's quite sad to think of. We don't know what would have happened to Mathieu had he not lost that from two sets to love up in the fifth rubber, but I can't help thinking his career might have been different. He's a lovely guy, is Paul-Henri Mathieu. We see him at Queen's every year, and he's always one of the most popular people with all the staff there. So, you know, he seems like he's living a pretty good life, but it's a shame what happened to him. This one surprised me. I didn't realize this was before he'd won his first French Open, but Rafael Nadal in 2004 beat the world number two at the time, Andy Roddick, in the Davis Cup final in the highest attended tie ever at that point. I think 27,000 people were in Spain to watch that final that Spain ended up winning. We've got some great contributions here at Tennis Podcast. Roderick McGeehy says, Andy Murray, Davis Cup, Ghent, that lob. That lob will forever be remembered, won't it?
And the rally that preceded it, yeah. I mean, the rally that preceded it made the lob all the more extraordinary. But yeah, it'll forever be on the highlights reels.
Adele says, the Federer-Wawrinka doubles match, the year that Federer managed to win the Davis Cup a couple of years ago, stands out for her. We've also got Will talking about that poor Henri Mathieu heartbreaker, same as yourself. I was thinking back to when Croatia were in the final 11 years ago, and it was Mario Ancic who stepped in and ended up winning it, although Ivan Ljubicic had basically carried them single-handedly to the final.
Quiz question for you, David. Who did Mario Ancic beat in that Ooh. Fifth rubber? Which Ooh. Slovakian?
Martin Mertenak.
I know that you and I have both read the same article.
You
with
can't
his
catch
name
me
in.
Out, Catherine Whittaker. Don't you start trying to get me in trouble on the Tennis Podcast by showing me up. I won't have it. What about when Yannick Noah in 1991 inspired Henri Leconte and Guy Forget to beat Pete Sampras? And that is one of my personal favourites, because Sampras was a US Open champion by then, but still a very young guy. I've gone through all of the losses of Argentina. I mean, some of them are absolute... They must have been so upsetting for the nation. I mean, we both read that article that you referenced by Chris Clary in the New York Times. Do recommend having a read of that for the history of Argentina in the Davis Cup. And he referenced being at the tie in Argentina against Spain when Nadal couldn't play 10 years ago. And that it was he said it was the loudest tennis crowd he has ever heard. And you're talking about a guy who's got 25 years in tennis. So I can only imagine.
That's what Argentina's famous for, isn't it? And I do think if this tie were being played in Argentina, that sort of instantly puts the ball in their court. It would make them the favourites, because by all accounts it is the most hostile environment you can step into as an away fan or player. But it's not. It's in Croatia. I expect pretty feverish crowds there too. But it does sound like, by all accounts, there's nothing like an Argentinian home tie.
No, I suspect not. I think really the surface element would have been a big factor. As it stands, we have a pretty neutral service. It's not, I mean, I think if it was Greece Lightning, you might go with Croatia as a result of that. But I don't think the surface comes into it that much, because Del Potro can play on an indoor hard court, no problem at all. We've seen how well the rest of the team can handle it against some good British opposition in Britain a couple of months ago. So, Catherine, my only pole vault this week is the predictions for the final. And I want to know what you think right now.
I have to say, before you tell me what the people said, do I? I have to go first.
Yes, you do.
I have to go first. I think it's really, really even. I'm going to go with Del Potro and Argentina. As much as I love Franco Skugor, and as much as I think it would be a wonderful moment for him and all of the Croatian team, I think Del Potro will win both his singles rubbers, and I think Argentina might win that doubles. So that's enough, isn't it?
Yeah, that would be enough, Catherine. Well, I disagree. I'm going Croatia. I think Marin Cilic is playing very, very good tennis, and I think he's going to win at least one of his singles. I think he will play the doubles.
Seeing as you've mentioned the good tennis that Cilic is playing, is this a good moment to remind everybody that you predicted that he would win the O2? Just, I forgot to mention that in our post O2 pod, so thought I would get that in there now. There we go. Done. He didn't win it, did he, David? Didn't get out of the group.
Barely won a match. I mean, I nearly got away with that. Oh, Catherine, I can't believe you've shown me up on the Davis Cup podcast. Duh. Well, you're right. That did happen. I just thought I'd go out on a limb, you know, make it interesting, you know, rather than just going for the glaringly obvious stuff that you always do. So I'm going for Croatia, and you can believe that or you cannot. Our listeners, Catherine, at Tennis Podcast have voted as follows. Croatia, 26%. Argentina, 74%.
I think that's a lot of hearts over heads, because I do think, as much as I've just predicted Argentina to win, I do think Croatia are the favourites. I do. I'm predicting an upset in Argentina to win. So I think that's a lot of people guilty, like me, probably, of being unable to separate heart from head.
Can't wait. It's going to be great, this, isn't it? All starts on Friday at 2 o'clock local time, 1 o'clock in the United Kingdom. That'll be on Eurosport. 8 o'clock in the morning on the east coast of the United States of America on the Tennis Channel. You can also stream it on DavisCup.com. Do stay across all of their channels on their social media. They'll be doing the live blog, all that sort of stuff as well. We'll be back with a podcast to review the Davis Cup final on Monday. We can't wait to watch it. Catherine, lovely to talk to you as always.
Likewise.
Even if you do show me up about Marin Cilic. And thanks to you for listening. We'll speak to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.